Blog Talk Radio.
When you walk through a storm, hold your hand up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of love. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, for your dreams Jesus and blow.
Everyone, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, The Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and we are the Democracy Defenders, and we're here tonight with an open mic time, open mic night. Nice to have you.
Yes, season 4, episode 32. Welcome, everyone, to the final episode of the season. Election season is upon us as Joe Biden has announced his candidacy for re-election in 2024. Trump is in deep shit as his various trials commence. Who will GOP pick in 2024? Will Trump be in prison? If he is, will he still run, and can he win? And like we said, it's open mic, but I want to set the tone and everything. And also, we're going to talk about mass shootings and violence that's been happening in America and everything. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast, 7:30 p.m. on the West Coast. We're Defenders of Democracy. You can call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all your TVs and any background noise, as it's a distraction for us as the host and listeners. Visit us and share our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. There are blog articles out, and soon there will be a merchandise section where you could buy coffee mugs, you know, baseball caps, and all goodies. We represent everything right-wing nutjobs hate about America. This is the Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Lori, this mass shooting in Texas Mall and everything. You know, I mean, white supremacy ties with this guy. His name is Mauricio Garcia, and he was responsible for murdering those people and a lot more injured and everything. And, you know, what's your thoughts on this. I don't want anybody to call in and say thoughts and prayers, because if somebody call and say thoughts and prayers, I'm going to hang up on them. There's time. It's time to register and vote and take action.
It is. What do I think about it? I think that it's another horrendous day in America, that we have to constantly be bombarded with these crazy lunatics with assault rifles, AR-15s, going into places where people are minding their own business and going on with their lives and just being shot and killed. There was a family of five, two little girls, and passed away, and the mother is in critical condition. Another family of four, all three, the mother, the father, and a little girl passed away, and there was a little boy that is left alone with no parents now. I mean, this is what's happening in this world. These Republicans do not want to understand that it's the guns that are killing people. The guns are in the hands of these lunatics, and these, you know, they're unstable. They are neo-Nazis. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. A lot of them are. They're anti-Semite. And there is a movement that is going on that we need to start paying attention to. It's very scary. Very scary.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so this is a clip from Inside Edition. The gunman wore this right-wing death squad patch. I'm going to learn more about it in this report from Inside Edition.
And here are the phone company. I already sent the money. Here are my parents. Please send money. If you're my financial aid institution, you didn't lend me enough money. If you're a female, don't worry. I have plenty of money.
The shooter was killed by a hero cop who just happened to be at the mall on another call. Why are we seeing the level of violence at this rate? We have a tremendous amount of divisiveness in the country, anger, people not getting along with their neighbors. And finally, we have post-pandemic, a lot more people who are suffering economically and emotionally.
The victims include a security guard described as a beautiful grandson, an engineer from India, and this mom and dad and their youngest son, a lone survivor, their six-year-old boy.
In Texas tonight have revealed a three-year-old boy and two grade school girls are among the eight people killed at that deadly mass shooting at a Dallas area outlet mall over the weekend. Tonight we're also learning more about the gunman who investigators say had white supremacist beliefs. Madison Scarpino is live from the scene in Allen, Texas with the
Texas authorities identified the gunman as Mauricio Garcia from Dallas. A police officer responding to an unrelated call in the area shot and killed the shooter. And today, a growing memorial outside of the scene as people here are trying to process what happened.
I feel heartbroken and sad because people have been dying because of gunshots that happened in Texas.
It's disheartening to see this in our community, and I can't tell you how many times my family and I have been here, and it's just a pleasurable place to come, and this is very hard to process. It's just, you just never think it's going to happen here in our community.
The feds are investigating the shooter's possible radical beliefs. He was found wearing a patch linked to white supremacy. And the shooter entered the Army in 2008, but got booted 3 months later. And Alex, as you mentioned, DPS just identified all of the victims, three children aged 11, 8, and 3, a 37-year-old man and his 35-year-old wife, a 20-year-old security guard at the mall, a 32-year-old man, and a 26-year-old woman. Medical City Healthcare says they are still treating six survivors, three fighting for their lives in critical conditions, while two are in fair condition and another in good condition. And people who live here say they'll never forget the moment that they heard about the tragedy. I remember my client said he and his wife were going shopping, so I immediately texted him and said, "Are you okay?" And then he texted me, or he called me back and said, She went. She's fine. This happening here, literally in our backyard, is devastating.
And today, the FBI has been bringing survivors back to the scene to retrieve their cars and other belongings, and we're expecting an update from a law enforcement tomorrow. In Allen, Texas, Madison Scarpino, Fox 11 News.
Yes, Lori. So that was a report from Inside Edition, and a TV station in Texas, Fox 11 Los Angeles, actually. We're going to take calls soon and everything, but I don't know.
It's just...
I don't know what to say.
You know, David, I'm upset, but I'm mad. So when I get mad, I project, and I'm going to project right now. This right wing death squad patch that is being worn by far right extremist elements in America. They are also the Proud Boys, which traces the violent group's origins and white supremacist goals. Today's right wing, the RWDS patch is prevalent at events that feature neo-Nazis, Proud Boys, or other far-right extremist groups, and you don't often see it anywhere else. Often shortened to RWDS, Right-Wing Death Squad, has for years been a popular slogan among neo-Nazis and the other extremist groups. The Southern Poverty Law Center traces its origins to the Right Stuff, a white nationalist hate group, and it's frequently been donned by members of extremist groups, including leaders of the Proud Boys. In 2021, members of the Right Wing Death Squad Facebook group were arrested after plotting to McVeigh the Democratic National Committee, a reference to Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh, who killed 168 people in 1995. And the slogan has a direct connection to political violence.
And Mauricio Garcia, he's 33 years old, neo-Nazi sympathizer, and he used an AR-15 assault weapon to murder these people. He was wearing tactical vests and also had a handgun, and more weapons and ammunition were found in his car. At the time of the massacre, he was wearing a patch on his chest, like you say, and including acronym RWDS, which you just explained. Right-wing people online and the people who protest on Capitol Hill, a lot of them went to prison, some of them for 14 years, thank goodness, should have been more. But this madness has to stop in America. We need gun control now. You know, it's maddening. Well, it's gotten too much.
It has. And then we have, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who right away, instead of, you know, talking about how sad she is or remorse or how horrendous this is, she pointed out that he has Hispanic ethnicity, and so that way it'll discount his potential ties to white supremacist movements. That's bullshit. Just because he has that name, that doesn't mean he's not a white supremacist. He could be Hispanic. Big deal. I mean, what planet do these people live on? Do they live on our planet? Do they have hearts? Do they have souls? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, alternate universe. That's where they live. Okay, folks, we're going to start taking calls now. I want to hear what you think. 515-605-9802. Say your first name. Where are you calling from? No background sounds, please. It's distracting to us as the host and also the listeners. Let's take our first call. Hello. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Hello, Elaine. Are you there?
Nobody else is answering. Hi, Elaine from Michigan.
Hi, Elaine.
Yes,
I don't know what to say anymore. I'm just. I've got a clear my head. I think I'm going to stay off of Facebook for a few days and clear my head. Things aren't getting any better. They're getting worse.
No, mm-hmm. they are. Mm-hmm. Absolutely are.
I mean, mm-hmm. We just went through a pandemic. This is worse than a pandemic. To register guns and to know who owns a gun, we register our cars. We know who owns our car. I don't mm-hmm. see the government taking our cars away from us. They're not going to take your damn hunting rifle away from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nuts. It's out of control. Just plain out of control. I don't even know what mm-hmm. to say anymore.
No, yeah. there really is not much to say, because the problem is these Republicans will not bend. And I don't know how to fix it except to vote every single one of them out of office. That is the only way we will get any changes, like they did here in Michigan. Just recently, they've made some changes with our gun laws. But the thing is that we have to remain Democratic, Democrats. We have to keep a legislature that's Democratic.
All right, we're talking about voting, right? We've got to vote these characters out. So what are the Republicans doing like Abbott? He has just made a law that if the people get in that he doesn't like, he can somehow legally say the election's no good and this is who was elected.
Yeah. Well, the thing
now,
is...
No, I want the public to understand this. I hear people saying, well, he can't do it. Well, I got a newsflash for everybody. If it's passed, it's legal, and it stays legal until somebody challenges it in court. And our country better wake up their goddamn heads already. Their heads up their ass. Even the people that are supposed to be doing something about this, they talk about voting, but they don't even know what the hell they're doing.
The thing is, Elaine, is this is the plan that they have. They are going to obstruct everything that they possibly can. You know, voting in colleges, everything that they can possibly obstruct, because they know if Democrats vote, they're done.
They also know that Democrats sit on their ass and question, well, it's not legal. He can't get away with it. I'm getting tired of that mentality out there. Every time I try to talk to somebody who wants to change the world, they don't want to change the world. They want you to do it. They want Lori to do it. They want David to do it. They want Elaine to do it. But do they want to get off their ass and do anything about it? No. And this is why I'm angry today. They want to sit back and just let a few of us do it. And then they bitch.
So that's not going to happen. A few of us cannot do it. That is for sure. And I am confident there are many people that are just as angry as us and want change just as much as we do. But, you know, we have to remain logical as well. You know, we have to give them reasons as to why. Like these patches that they're wearing, you know, these right-wing patches. I mean, a lot of the Proud Boys had those patches on January 6th. You know, I mean, I personally didn't even realize there was such a patch. And you can, I guess, buy them. So, in other words, you're identified when you buy these patches as part of this, you know, right-wing extreme Nazi group or anti-Semite group.
I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I've been talking to people who are complaining and say, see what's going on. And when you try to get them involved to do something besides voting, they don't want to get involved. So what the hell are we supposed to do? I'm angry right now because not enough people are doing anything.
Yeah, and in Brownsville, Texas, another tragedy that happened a couple of days later. where this driver, mm-hmm. his name is George Alvarez, 34 years old. Mm-hmm. He has an extensive rap
yep.
sheet prior to charges on assault and driving while intoxicated. You know, he has a long rap sheet and everything. He plowed into and killed 8 people, injuring 10 more. And he's been
mm-hmm.
Charged with 8 counts of manslaughter, according to the police chief, Felix Sosida, who said that Monday he's been charged officially. You know, police said that they're still investigating the cause of the crash. And, you know, he was charged on manslaughter counts, as well as 10 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and his bond was set for $3.6
mm-hmm.
million. Police said that they're
mm-hmm.
still investigating, and several immigrants were among those killed when a Land Rover hit the group waiting at the bus stop across the street from Bishop Enrique San Pedro Osama Center, a nonprofit homeless shelter helping to house migrants in a border town, authorities
mm-hmm.
said. So the surveillance video
mm-hmm.
of the incident showed that the vehicle driving at a high rate of speed and hitting a curb about 30 feet from where the migrants were sitting before the driver appeared to lose control. There were about 20
mm-hmm.
to 25 immigrants sitting on the curb at around 8:30 a.m. when the police reported receiving reports of the crash. According to the shelter director, the migrants were from Venezuela and had arrived at the shelter just days ago. So the staff and
mm-hmm.
residents of the Osama Center are devastated by Sunday's tragic events, obviously, and individuals injured and killed are asylum seekers. So, you know, waffle lay the blame on Donald Trump and Republicans because this is xenophobia, where he goes around the country
mm-hmm.
with his Nazi rallies, hating on Mexicans,
yep.
hating on immigrants, the non-white immigrants and everything. This madness has to
yep.
stop because of what Donald Trump did was treason, and anybody else who did half
mm-hmm.
of what he did would have been in prison waiting trial. You know, so I don't know what the special treatment is about because he's a former president. You know, lock his ass up for trial, you know, and with this Eugene Carroll case, you know, he come back
mm-hmm.
like this hero from Scotland saying, oh, yes, I'm going to testify. But his lawyers said,
mm-hmm.
no, they put him on a stand. This man is a heartless rat bastard who should burn in hell, and I
yep.
cannot wait for the day to see him behind bars in an orange jumpsuit. I hate this man. I really hate this man.
I know. I agree with you. I have nowhere, I mean, I'm beyond everything because I feel the same way, David. I feel like it has been since, you know, it's been years now. You know, every day we're given a tidbit of, you know, they're going to do this and, you know, this case and the Georgia case. And, you know, in the meantime, they're disrupting everything. They're trying to get rid of the you know, the attorney generals in Georgia, they're trying to, you know, disrupt that case as well. I mean, and it's tiring. It's exhausting. The other thing that I would like to talk about, David, is the Jordan Neely family. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if you know about that case. I did send it to you there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a young man in New York that was killed over the weekend as well. He was in a
mm-hmm.
he was homeless. I should just read it because it's probably better if I just read it because I'm just going to get upset all over again. So the 24-year-old subway rider never meant to kill Jordan Neely, his lawyer said last week, part of a lengthy statement that the dead man's family blasted as an admission of guilt in a new statement on Monday. 30-year-old Jordan Neely died on a train at the Broadway Lafayette Station in Manhattan a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Yeah, after allegedly threatening passengers and being put into a chokehold by a rider. That rider is Daniel Kenny, and he was questioned by
mm-hmm.
the NYPD and later released from custody. The medical
mm-hmm.
examiner's office ruled Neely's death a homicide, which incited a debate around whether the rider's actions were justified, defense, or vigilantism. Sources say the Manhattan DA's office could convene a grand jury to consider the criminal charges this week. Multiple protests have taken place in Manhattan since a 30-year-old death. The latest case, dozens brought train. They stopped the train. They went on the track and all of that. And there was quite a few that were arrested. And they're looking for six of them that protested on Saturday. Meanwhile, the man that had him in a chokehold for 15 minutes, and then there were two other men that held his arms, and they showed this on video, I saw it, they held his arms, and he died. But they're looking for six protesters, and they have not charged this Neely man. They've not charged
him. Right. Yeah, our society is truly turned upside down. Yeah.
Why do we need a grand jury for that?
The name of this Marine vet is Danielle Penny. And,
okay,
so I'm gonna play this clip from ABC News New York. Listen to it.
In New York City, over the death of a subway rider, protesters swarming the subway station, disrupting service, demanding justice for Jordan Neely. He died after allegedly threatening passengers and being placed in a chokehold by a fellow rider. And we want to warn you, some of this video may be disturbing. Here's ABC's Mona Kosarapi.
No justice!
Tonight, pressure mounting on New York City officials as protesters demand justice in the chokehold death of 30-year-old Jordan Neely. This weekend, demonstrators filling subway stations, some jumping on the tracks and blocking incoming trains. Police say they arrested 13 people. Protesters angered by what they view as inaction after former Marine Sergeant Daniel Penny put Neely, who was unhoused, in a chokehold aboard a train last week. The 24-year-old releasing a statement through his attorney, saying in part, Neely was aggressively threatening him and other passengers. Adding, Daniel, with the help of others, acted to protect themselves until help arrived. Daniel never intended to harm Mr. Neely and could not have foreseen his untimely death. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is investigating this case, which could go before a grand jury this week, according to law enforcement sources.
It's not just enough for someone to say they believe that they were threatened. There's going to have to be some additional evidence to suggest that Jordan Neely was acting in a way that a reasonable person would believe that their life was in harm.
Neely has a criminal record with more than 40 arrests. An attorney for Neely's family says he struggled with mental health since the age of 14 after the brutal murder of his mother. Neely's friend telling ABC he brought joy to many as a Michael Jackson impersonator.
Everybody loved him, and that's why the uproar has been how it has about the fact that the individual who did this has not been arrested.
And detectives have interviewed more than half a dozen witnesses. Those testimonies will likely go before a grand jury. A legal expert telling ABC News that Penny's military experience might play a role in whether he's charged. Lindsay?
Mona, thank you.
Okay, so the thing is, nobody should play a vigilante. Leave it up to the police and everything. And shame on the people who are helping this this Marine trying to subdue this guy who, you know, threatening people on train and everything. He has mental issues. Wait till the police get there and handle it. You get what I'm saying? Who knows if the goddamn police would have did the same thing? Because police across this country, some of them are such bad eggs. Some of them are such white supremacists that, you know, if you get stopped in a car and everything as a black person or a brown person, you know, that's a trigger happy. They'll just shoot you. You know? So the country's a hot mess. Go ahead with your point.
Well, I was going to also say that he was also homeless. He was homeless. He had mental illness. He would do Michael Jackson songs and dances, etc. He even was dressed like him at one point I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. The point is that he didn't have a gun on him. You know, maybe he was jumping around and screaming at people, but he didn't have anything physically to hurt him. And, okay, so they took him down, but did he have to have a chokehold on this poor? I mean, he wasn't a big guy. And, two of them were holding his arms down, and then the other one had his hands around his neck. I mean, how 15 minutes No one can breathe for 15 minutes and not die, for God's sake.
Exactly, exactly.
I don't understand. And why haven't they charged? I'm sorry. I feel like you should be charged. What do you think?
Definitely you should be charged. You should not have been sent home and everything. You know, and some people in the comments section of that video just played saying that the former Marine vet should be given a medal, you know, because he was just protecting himself and everything. And listen, I lived in New York. I ride a subway and everything. You're some crazy, strange people. My experience in New York is like I seen this man get butt-ass naked and use bottled water to wash under his arms and wash himself and everything. You know, so I've seen the strangest things in New York subway. But, you know, for a man to take his vigilante and try to subdue a man and chokehold him, you know, a black man. If it were reverse, do you think that black man, if he choked out and killed a white person, would have gone home the same night? They would have arrested him.
No.
You know, so.
No. And, you know, the other thing is,
they could have knocked. They could have grabbed him. They could have sat him down. I mean, you know, they've got the one that had the chokehold on him claimed he had military experience. Well, he had experience to take him down. Why didn't he sit him up? Why didn't they could have held him down in a sitting position? They didn't have to have a chokehold on him.
Right.
Oh my God!
I know they come out. It's going to come out now that, you know, he has this. It's going to come out now.
There's a sensible way of doing it.
Yeah, it's going to come out now that he has this long rap sheet and everything, you know, and so villainize the black man. Not saying he was an angel, but he had mental issues. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
But when these sons of bitches like NRA,
FBI,
when NRA, you know, against background checks and everything, you know, like, no background checks because against the Second Amendment. But when people generally need help, like this young man who got choked out in New York, nobody give a damn. You know, a black man, let's just kill him. Let's just choke him out, kill him. You know, he's just another statistic. It's sad. It's sickening.
And, you know, the thing, it is. And the other thing is I don't think that Daniel Penny's press release, I don't even think, it was not an apology. And he didn't even express regret. You know, at all. I think it's just because he thought that he was a Marine and he was just doing his job that he was trained to do as a Marine. No.
Mm-hmm.
He could, like Elaine said, they could have, you know, subdued him, you know, just set him down on a chair, you know, give him a glass of water, something. He did not have a knife in his hand. He didn't have a gun. He was probably just mad. I don't know why he was mad. Only we know. You're sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's just sad. It's just.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
unnecessary.
Upset that
it could have been avoided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Hello, caller. 4-3-4 area code. Welcome to the show. Hope you know what's cooking tonight.
Nothing much. I feel bad for Hey, sorry about that. I feel bad for the guy that got killed. I mean, it's just a shame. And the problem, the other problem we have in society is we see people when, you know, not only African American but people who have mental illnesses as the same when they do something wrong, but when it comes to they're getting ahead in life, all of a sudden they're pushed back. It's like same thing. Like when you go to jail, you're well enough to go to jail, even if you're mentally ill. But once you get to jail, you're not well enough for the rights. And it's like society needs to make up its mind about people, and it also needs to stop villainizing victims.
Exactly. And that's what the media about to do, especially Fox News. I blame Ronald Reagan when he came in 1981 after beating Jimmy Carter to the oath of office. The first thing he did was clear out the mental institutions and not fund mental health, you know, for people. You know, and the drug companies out there pump out these different drugs yearly, you know, just testing people to say, oh, what's the side effects, sir, you know?
you know, how it will help people, what, you know, how it will affect them, you know, not giving any consideration of, you know, funding mental institutions that people need help, you know, to go in there and take a mental health break. Mental health is important and everything. But Republicans,
yes,
you know, don't think about these things. You know, they think it's a waste of taxpayer money and everything. And of course, you know, even if you have a record of mental illness, you know, they allow you to have guns because why? Second Amendment. It's disgraceful. Yes. America's better than this. What the hell is happening?
You know,
how can we, you know, how can we solve this problem?
Vote them all out. That's it. I mean, what else do we have left? Mm-hmm. And oh, the other thing is, David, you were talking about mental illness. We need, in this country, this is my opinion, and I've said it before, we need walk-in mental health clinics. You know, we have these walk-in outpatient clinics everywhere on every corner where I live. But we do not have any walk-in mental health clinics anywhere. And if someone maybe like him was having a bad day and he saw that this there was a walk-in mental health clinic, someplace where he can maybe get a cup of coffee and maybe talk to somebody and just sit down and someone could calm him down, maybe that would not have happened. See, that's what's wrong. Mental illness is put on the back burner in this country, and it's not addressed at all. And you're right. Ronald Reagan made a big mistake, and it's not been rectified.
Yes,
Larry, John Unruh was in office at the same time, and he closed all the mental health facilities in Michigan, another Republican.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I remember that. Absolutely.
Another
yes,
Republican.
He was an awful governor. I'm sorry. He was awful.
He took a surplus like all typical Republicans do. He took a surplus and put our state in a deficit.
Oh, yeah.
Just like all the Republicans do to the national government.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a horrible.
But getting back to mental illness, we changed the laws for the mentally ill also. The mentally ill, depending on the degree of severity, some of them cannot do their own thinking. But the laws were changed that they have to ask for help. Sometimes a person is so sick that they don't even know they're sick.
No.
And they need somebody to get in there and do something for them. But no, they changed the law that anybody mentally ill, no matter how severe, they are the ones that have to ask for help. I'm sorry, but it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I want to talk about Arizona politics a little bit later on, but Texas just proposed a bleeding station in school. You know, therapists warn of mental health impact and everything. So this bill could require students as young as 8 years old to go through training that will teach them how to render aid during a traumatic event such as a school shooting. House Bill 1147 looks to alter the age of those who can use bleeding control stations in Texas schools. State representative and bill author Barbara Gervin Hawkins, a Democrat from San Antonio, says that she created similar legislation during the 86th legislative session that currently shows seventh graders and older to operate the stations. The San Antonio lawmaker said that after the Robb Elementary School shooting that killed 19 fourth graders, she felt that it was necessary to file a bill to lower the grade level. State Representative Gervin Hawkins believes this will allow more access to the training that can protect innocent lives. You know, so the co-founder of Save Austin Now and mother of a nine-year-old, her name is Cleo Petrinic, she's a co-founder of Save Austin Now. She says that if House Bill 1147 passes into law, it could help save lives during a mass casualty event. So what do you think about that, Laurie? Is that a good thing,
this bill? Hell no. Absolutely insane. I can't imagine a grade schooler, 8 years old, trying to save a life of a student that's been shot and just bleeds out. Are you serious? this is a solution?
Mm-hmm.
No. This
mm-hmm.
is insanity. I couldn't do it. I could not do that. I know that. And I'm sorry. I could not do that. I don't have it in me to do that. And they expect these young mm-hmm. children to do that? What about their lives? Are they supposed to stay there and get shot because they're helping the other child that just got shot? Are you kidding? Who are these
mm-hmm.
people? Are they Martians? Are they Martians?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Yeah. But Republicans in Texas and all over the country want schools that the teachers to be armed. You know, the teachers armed would be like a good guy with a gun. You know, that would just compound the problem and make it worse, in my opinion. You know, you love guns so much that, you know, you love guns so much that you want to protect the Second Amendment, you know, and not amend it under no circumstances because you feel that's an infringement on people's Second Amendment rights. What about the rights of children being gunned down almost daily? It's become new normal, and nothing about this is goddamn normal. Why Europe don't have problems like this? Because they have strict gun controls. New Zealand, England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, you can name it, Portugal, you know, they have strict gun laws, you know, the Scandinavian countries. But we're obsessed with guns, and we think guns are more important than people's lives and everything. You know, so the hell with everybody, you know, this woke culture thing, according to them. Everything about them is, you know, oh, this woke culture about, you know, we mustn't offend people or that. Please, you know, your guns are not more important than
some
lives
of
children
training
with
people. Do you know that the children would have to take a tampon and they would be taught how to shove it in the bullet hole? Don't you think the training alone is traumatizing? I do.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
To take a tampon and shove it in a bullet hole?
Yeah, it's going to have a negative impact on the kid's health. The 8-year-old child who is at a bleed station, negative impact on the poor child's health, mental health.
I mean, a kid 9 years old is going to learn that? That's the biggest bunch of bullshit to come down the tube.
I know. I have no words. And, you know, they went on to say that for a tornado watch, they prepare children for mass casualties. The quicker you respond to a gunshot and stop the bleeding, the higher likelihood that you would have to save a life, even if it has to be a child that's trained in this. It's not that we want.
You want to save the goddamn life, you take away the goddamn military weapon.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't want children exposed to this. I want them to be protected in a bubble that's now, that's how it is in this country, the patriarch. I mean, I find this to be, I don't know what's worse. Is that man, you know, killing all those people with his vehicle, the other one being choked on the subway, choked to death on the subway, or the shooter in Texas? I mean, when does this all end? You know, and it's
right.
All, you know, it's madness. Like, you know, it's so frustrating.
Right. My question is, will students be trained to operate these bleeding stations? And if so, what would be the training that would be entailed? And what grade level would be required to undergo this training? You know, imagine you're seeing your schoolmate, they're bleeding out and everything, you're 8 years old. That's more traumatic. You know, and
you
PTSD, there's no overcoming that, man. You know, so this HB 1147 is scheduled to go out next Monday to the committee stage where they discuss it and amend it and what have you. And, you know, it's pending in a hearing in the Youth Health and Safety Committee in the Texas Legislature. And what are the benefits of the bill? Well, according to the author of the bill is about to be saving the lives of students. The legislation wouldn't be needed. However, with mass shootings taking countless lives in our schools, it is necessary to give students tools that could help them save a life if they are confronted with this terrible situation. And I said to that that the state representative, that's such rubbish.
It is.
The solution is having red flag laws – firmer gun control, gun insurance liability. So if a child bring a gun, mm-hmm. gun to a school and shoot another kid or a teacher, God forbid, then the parents mm-hmm. or whoever owned that gun is held liable and could get sued and get jail time and a hefty fine. You know, if yep. that happened, then you'll see gun crimes go down tremendously. You know, I don't know what these people in the different state legislations and in Congress are doing, because, you know, it's just getting worse and worse daily. If every other day there's a school shooting, or you go to the supermarket, or you go to church, or you go anywhere, you get shot. Why? Because crazy people are out there and the government not doing anything. At least Democrats trying to do something, but Republicans saying no. They don't have the 60 votes in the Senate yep. to do anything. You know, and Joe Biden keeps saying, get the assault rifles off the streets. Because when Bill Clinton was president, he signed a bill into law, you know, in 1996 it was. And it went down, the gun violence went down 240%.
Yeah.
You know, but as soon as George W. Bush in 2004, it ran out and was supposed to be renewed, Republicans, with the help of the NRA, their benefactors,
mm-hmm.
No, you know,
mm-hmm.
And you know, all sorts of weapons are out there and everything, and the punishment for these gun crimes are just like a slap on the wrist. It's a joke. It's a damn joke. America deserves better
it
than
is.
This.
This it. I've never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life. I just, when I read that, I thought, this is it. I've seen it all now. You know, I can maybe, I don't know. It's just beyond my understanding. These children go to school to learn how to read, write, to be social, to be happy, to learn about history, everything. And this is what they have to learn instead, how to save a fellow student's life possibly after they maybe have been shot in the head. And their face is shot off? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not their job. It's a job of adults.
But they can't
you
have
know?
A
That's
class.
Poor.
They can't have a class in the human body. That's against the religion. You can't have a class where that teaches you what your body is about.
No.
Oh, because that's against somebody's religion? I never heard of such crap either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Teach a child how to take a tampon and plug a bullet hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ted Cruz in Texas, he's hoping to avoid reprisal after his 2018 close call as he preps for a potential general election challenge from Congressman Colin mm-hmm. Allred from Texas, a Democrat. I think he's a state rep or is he a congressman. I'm not sure. It's going to be one of the most expensive races to watch in the Senate. The Senate races in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, 32 Democrats running for election or re-election and 10 Republicans running for election mm-hmm. or re-election. And Democrats are hoping that the race emerges as a rare competitive contest in the GOP-held seat in 2024. And Ted Cruz has had two consecutive terms and is looking to make his entire 2018 win look like a knockdown, drag-out fight. So, you know, what do you think about this challenger, Colin Allred? Do you think he stand a chance against Ted Cruz in Deep Red, Texas? Because he raised money in 3 days, a lot of money in 3 days, which is a good sign. You know, what's your thought, Lori, on that?
I believe that Ted Cruz is not very Texas. I think maybe his days are up. I'm hoping that his days are up. And Ted Cruz is a vile, loudmouth individual. He doesn't care what he says. He can lie straight out. Doesn't faze him. And, you know, it's up to Texas. And if they want to put in a decent man, you know, that will help the state to turn blue, then that's what they have to do, you know. And I know it's probably going to, this Allred is an ex NFL, the man that's challenging him. He's an ex-NFL mm-hmm. player. He laid out his opening argument in a rollout video last week, targeted Cruz for his push to overturn the 2020 election results and for traveling to Cancun in February of 2021 while the state was paralyzed by a deadly winter storm. He said Ted Cruz only cares about himself. And I mm-hmm. agree with that. You know, I mean, that's absolutely
yeah.
true. So we shall see. He said Fred flipped. He also said he flipped what was a competitive district from red to blue in 2018, and the nonpartisan election pastor Cook Political Report shifted the Senate race from solid Republican to likely Republican. In other words, Ted Cruz is on thin ice.
Yes, and Cruz is sitting at 45% at the moment. And when he ran against Beto O'Rourke, it was between 38% and 40%, and Beto O'Rourke gave him a good run for his money. He also is a uniquely strong opponent, the Democrat. You know, when Beto O'Rourke ran, he had a message of unity and an anti-Cruz sentiment among Democrats and independents. And he had a fundraising process that was unmatched to create a perfect storm against Ted Cruz back then. But Cruz survived, unfortunately, but he won with less than 3 percentage points, virtually ensuring that he won't be caught flat-footed in a battle against Allred. So $80 million Beto O'Rourke raised from small dollar contributions in a relatively short amount of time. And snuck up on Ted Cruz and almost beat him. But a 3 percentage point, basically, is a dead heat, statistical dead heat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And John Cornyn, the senior senator from Texas, said, I told him, you're going to win, but this may be the most expensive Senate race in Texas history again. So Ted Cruz is beatable because, you know, nobody in the Congress liked Ted Cruz. And according to John Bannon, former Speaker of the House, he described Ted Cruz as Lucifer in the flesh, you know, and he is not a good person. To show that he's not a good person, a couple years back when there was a storm, a winter storm happened, people lost the power, didn't have any heat and everything. What did Ted Cruz do? He jumped on a plane, went to Cancun, Mexico with his family, and vacationed there for 2 weeks while the people in Texas who elected him suffered greatly. But yet still, when Beto O'Rourke ran against them, it re-elected Ted Cruz. Why?
That's a good question. It blows my mind as well. You know, do they have that short of a memory? Is it gerrymandered? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, that's the whole thing. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Ted Cruz is a vile, vicious person. I don't even think his own daughter likes him, you know, from the things that I've read.
Added to which, Ted Cruz is the same one when you ran against Donald Trump for the Republican nomination in 2016. You know, he brought a fight to the orange bastard, but he refused to endorse him. But, of course, the Koch brothers and Adelson and whomever else say, hey, if you don't back him, then we're going to pull out every money that we ever give you. So if you run for re-election for the U.S. Senate, you're not going to win. And Cruz, like a lapdog that he is, groveled up to Trump after Trump, disrespected his father, disrespected his wife. You get what I'm saying? And endorsed them.
Exactly.
You know? What kind of person does that? That's insane, man. That is so insane.
No bottom. Yeah, he has no bottom. When you have no bottom or you don't have a soul, you don't care who you hurt. You know, you only care about yourself. And that's very, very obvious if you're paying attention. That's the whole thing. You have to pay attention, you know.
I'm
hoping.
You know, I'm so nostalgic. Listen, I'm so nostalgic for the days when Sarah Palin was the stupidest Republican and Michelle Bachmann was the craziest.
Me too.
But no, it's like with people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and her name, Boebert from Colorado, and Rapey McForehead from Florida, Matt Gaetz. It's like to put Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann to shame. that make those women look intelligent, you know?
Yeah.
You know, look in Arizona, for example. Arizona. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's okay. All right.
Yeah, in Arizona, for example, where Carrie Lake ran for the governorship and lost, you know, a decent human being would say, hey, it was a good fight. I called my opponent to concede and offer congratulations. No. Up to this day, this woman, Carrie Lake, is still going into the courts, you know, clogging up the court system, suing, say, hey, the election was stolen. You know, who's she trying to impress? Mm-hmm. Nobody likes her in Arizona. You get what I'm saying? Yep. I know she has a good chance of running for United States Senate seat that will be open. Kristen Sinema is running as an independent. And Congressman, he is, what's his name? Ruben Gallego is a Democrat running for the Democratic nomination. And according to the polls, in a three-way race, Gallego will still win because people are so sick and tired of this, you know, election, you know, the election of stolen crap in Arizona. You know, independents will come over to the Democratic side like nothing. Kristen Sinema is a sellout because she ran as a progressive, but yet still she's taking money from pharmaceutical companies, from oil companies, from big tobacco, from Wall Street. You know, not representing the interests of the people, you know? And I hope Gallego wipe her face, the floor with her face. Because this woman has to go. She's dangerous. Carrie Lake is even more dangerous because she has proven herself on sure hands when she lost that, that gubernatorial race and refused to concede up to this day. It's very, you know, it's disgusting.
It just shows you. It shows you who she is. You know, it shows you who she is. You know, she's like a female Trumper, a female Trump. You know, she's that
Trump in a vagina, basically.
Basically, you're right.
And I wish somebody from Arizona would call in and tell us about, you know, Arizona politics and everything, because it's going to be a fight for that U.S. Senate seat in Arizona. And I hope Gallego, you know, has his act together when he gets a nomination, because we can't have a Republican in that seat, you know?
No. I agree.
No.
We cannot.
We need, we need these 60 seats to have a foolproof majority. And we can, the filibuster, we can vote on a filibuster to get rid of it, because a filibuster has no use and purpose in today's politics. It's ridiculous.
You're right. Absolutely right. So the next thing that maybe we can talk about is what has been the Republicans' to lift the debt ceiling. What kind of surprises are in there, David? Do we know?
Well, yes, according to Kevin McCarthy, last Wednesday, Republicans unveiled their plan to raise the debt ceiling by cutting government spending ahead of the looming summer deadline to avert a catastrophe and historic default by the U.S. in its debt obligation. They call this proposed bill, it's 320 pages by the way, call it the Limit, Save, and Grow Act. It would lift the debt limit by $1.5 trillion or until March of 2024. The measure, introduced by House Budget Committee Chairman Jody Arrington, a Texas Republican, also details cuts in the federal spending of a tune of $4.5 trillion. So the bill was announced by McCarthy amid stalled talks with the White House over the debt ceiling, and the U.S. hits its borrowing authority in January, forcing the Treasury Department to begin using extraordinary measures to keep paying the bills. So now this guy McCarthy, who speaks of the House and everything, three times under the Trump presidency, you know, there's no problem in giving Donald Trump what he wanted. A blank check, you know. And no, because Joe Biden is in there now, they're saying no. And the Congressional Budget Office estimated that those measures would be exhausting as soon as July, putting the nation at a risk of first-ever default without action from Congress. So now what Republicans want to cut is Social Security. They want to cut veterans' benefits. They want to cut health care.
They want to get rid of the Department of Education to save money, you know, things like that. And Democrats in the White House saying no. You know, so Biden and McCarthy has met face-to-face once in February, this past February, to discuss a debt ceiling. And the White House has pushed Republicans to provide more details about what federal programs could face cuts. And the GOP has released a budget explaining the spending potential on the chopping block. And, you know, MAGA Republicans are holding the American economy hostage in order to take a hatchet to programs Americans rely on every day to make ends meet. And this is very cruel and evil by Republicans. You know,
yes,
the Democratic-led Senate, even though if legislation were to win approval in both chambers, it would almost certainly be vetoed by Joe Biden. The bill does, however, serve the House Republican opening offer in an eventual negotiation. So let's look at this, what the Republicans and McCarthy are proposing. The Limit Save Grow Act. So their plan, let me see, I'm trying to get the screen up here. I have about six screens in front of me. As I said, they want to increase the debt limit by $1.5 trillion in the end of March 2024. And federal aid programs would be cut. We want to rescind new funding for IRS. We don't want any IRS agents out there because, of course, they go for the wealthy and corporations who don't pay the fair share taxes. They want to enact work requirements for federal aid for people on welfare, you know, and they want to reclaim unspent COVID-19 funds in the Build Back Better America program, the infrastructure program that the president signed into law and everything. They want to cancel the student loan forgiveness program by Joe Biden, you know, and they just want to hurt people while at the same time cutting these programs. They want to give a next tax cut to the wealthy. That don't make any sense.
Of course. And well, you know it doesn't, but you know who they're pandering to. You know, let's go back for a minute to impose the work requirements for federal aid. They want to impose stricter work requirements to receive Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program funding, formerly known as food stamps, for childless adults. The bill also requires each state to collect and submit information to the federal government about the percentage of people enrolled in SNAP who are unsubsidized, employed, as well as median-earning people who were work eligible after they exit the program. And then you go ahead into the IRS part. They want to nix $80 million in additional IRS funding, which would include thousands of, which we know why we need more agents, because we have a lot of tax fraud going on. You're right about that. And to recoup the unspent pandemic relief funds, the rescue plan and emergency relief package passed in the final month of the Trump administration. While most of the money has been spent, Republicans, many of whom have long railed against the massive influx of federal spending, believe clawing back the remaining funds can help balance federal coffers. You know, they're saying that, you know, the American people are tired of politicians who use COVID as an excuse, you know, to extreme inflationary and non-inflationary spending.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's okay. The student loan forgiveness program, you know, college students, you know, that have gone to school, they probably work, they have a lot of debt. We know that college is so expensive. The books are horrendously expensive as well. And $20,000 would help them out a lot, would help them immensely. Mm-hmm. No, they don't want to do that. They want to cut that. They want to wipe it out, you know. There's 40 million Americans that are in that would be eligible for the for that relief fund. But no, they don't want to do that. Of course not. And then once again, the Inflation Reduction Act. that was signed in by Biden. The $740 billion package was passed with only Democratic support. We know that. Now they want to rescind key aspects of the law that were designed to combat climate change, including provisions established high efficiency electric home rebate program and energy efficiency contractor training grants. There's nothing wrong with that. We have climate change upon us. We all see it all the time with the wicked storms that are all around the country. And they don't believe in climate change because of the oil industry and the gas industry. Is that the reason why? You know, the energy bill, they want to lower, you know, they implement the Republican signatures. Energy bill included in the debt limit packages is H.R. 1, the Lower Energy Cost Act. The legislation aims to boost American energy production, there we go, and decrease dependency on foreign oil. The plan seeks to quicken the permitting energy and infrastructure projects and increase oil and gas production and sales. So the hell with climate change, because it's not real. You know, we don't need electric cars or anything like that. We don't need to save the environment. No, we need more oil and gas and production sales. Okay, that's it. So that's
yeah.
I can tell you that.
Okay, so I'm going to play a clip from Kevin McCarthy. And he's speaking about what he requires from President Biden with the debt ceiling and everything and what Republicans want. And Republicans not going to get what they want because, you know, Biden wants a clean debt ceiling. He doesn't want, you know, these cuts by Republicans, what they're proposing, because it's just violent, vicious, and evil. And a lot of people suffer for it, you know. And So McCarthy is at odds with a debt ceiling plan by Joe Biden and the White House and Democrats. And he faces a major test because if he doesn't get what Republicans, his caucus, his crazy caucus wants, then more than likely they'll remove him as Speaker of the House. And as we remember, when he was running for Speaker of the House, he tried 15 times unsuccessfully before the final elected him Speaker. What did he compromise and promise them? I guess this is one of the things that he promised them. And Matt Gaetz is holding out because Matt Gaetz wants what Matt Gaetz wants. And he's not going to get it, God damn it. Yeah, so here is Kevin McCarthy. It was this is a C-SPAN clip. I don't want to play the whole 9 minutes of it, you know.
Okay.
But this is it right here.
Okay.
Angie's List is loop.
Yeah. So, while I queue it up and everything, you know, Republicans, I hope they don't stand a chance in 2024. Because people need help out there. And Republicans are just, you know, sick and twisted and awful corporations and rich people. A lot of people hurting out there because we're coming back from COVID, and we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. And here's Kevin McCarthy.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I've elected a divided government. And our government is divine to find compromise. That's why the House, the Senate, and the White House should be negotiating a responsible debt limit increase right now. You know, if you gave your child a credit card and they kept maxing it out to the limit, you wouldn't blindly just read the limit. You'd change their behavior. That exact same thing is true with our national debt. We need to lower inflation, reduce our dependence on China, and lift Americans out of poverty. America has a $31 trillion debt, and Washington is on the clock. But what are Democrats doing? President Biden is skipping town to deliver a speech in Maryland rather than sitting down to address the debt ceiling. He's giving America's debt the southern border treatment. Ignore it and hope that it goes away. In fact, he's been avoiding the issue for 77 straight days in county. Now, Senator Schumer, he's just missing in action. Rather than find common ground with the House, Senator Schumer is having the Senate vote on a non-binding resolution commending and congratulating the University of Connecticut men's basketball team for winning 2023 men's basketball championship. Now, that's not all Senator Schumer's been doing. Just last month, just 4 months ago, I didn't hear, Mr. Speaker, a single Democrat complain about that level of spending. These spending limits are not draconian. They're responsible. Federal spending exploded in the past 2 years when Democrats controlled all, and that doesn't include the trillions of COVID-era spending. But limited government spending will reduce inflation and restore fiscal discipline in Washington. If Washington wants to spend more, it will have to come together, find savings elsewhere, just like every single household in America. Not spent during the pandemic. Our proposals also repeal Biden's army.
Okay, enough of this asshole, because this asshole is a hypocrite, mm-hmm. Kevin McCarthy. Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Donald Trump in his 4 years rose a deficit by $7 trillion. Three times the debt, mm-hmm. debt ceiling limit was there, and he gave everything what Trump wanted. And now he's talking about mm-hmm. cutting all these programs. It's not going to happen.
Yep.
So can expect yep. that he's going to be removed as Speaker of the House by the Republican caucus and somebody else in. And hopefully it's not Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she's the Speaker pro tempore. When he's not there,
oh,
she's
please.
Acting Speaker of the House. Yeah, and that's really, really scary.
Yeah. Well, she has
She's literally two heartbeats away from the presidency.
Yeah, she's
two heartbeats away from the presidency. Imagine that idiot woman being president of the United States.
Don't even go there. And you're right. 25% of the nation's debt was incurred during the Trump administration. So this is the same administration mm-hmm. saying that they, you know, want to balance and, you know, cut and, you know, be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
That's
all I got to say about that.
Because as far as I see, the House Republicans, they're trying to, like, you know, hold America hostage, the economy hostage, with this brinksmanship.
Yes.
And American people's livelihoods and retirements depend on these things. So,
yes.
you know, the American people, they have a clear, they made clear which economic vision they support, and it's Joe Biden's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the U.S. Treasury
mm-hmm.
reached the current debt limit, you know, third $1.4 trillion in February. And Secretary
mm-hmm.
Treasury Janet Yellen has employed extraordinary measures, as I said earlier. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Republicans want to take a hatchet job to this rebuilding economy. How much jobs has been recreated mm-hmm. or created under Joe Biden's presidency? When
Idiot
Orange Man was in there, we lost a lot of jobs because of COVID. He did nothing to
mm-hmm.
help people with COVID. You know, he said, oh, mm-hmm. just inject, you know, bleach and take the horse pill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all sorts of nonsense and weirdness. A lot of people died on
mm-hmm.
his watch. So even before Joe Biden took office, he took control and in charge and tried to do something
mm-hmm.
about relieving people, you know, from COVID, you know. So
mm-hmm.
the Republicans are hypocrites. It's very
yeah.
hypocritical what McCarthy is doing.
Yes, they are. Very hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
They're not job creators. They're job killers. You know,
mm-hmm.
they only, you know, they talk about inflation and they cause the inflation
mm-hmm.
because, they, you know, if they would work together with Democrats, maybe they could get these corporations to quit, you know, charging the everyday consumer exorbitant prices for things and using inflation as their scapegoat, because maybe, you know, a CEO could take, you know, maybe a little bit less in his bonus and then, you know, mm-hmm. pass it down to the consumer, you know, mm-hmm. but no, that of course is Joe Biden's fault as well. You know, that prices are high and inflation is high. And as a matter of fact, inflation is coming down. There's already statistics. It's coming down. But the thing is, mm-hmm. is that Republicans will not take any stances against corporate America. Not at all. They won't make them pay taxes. They, you know, they will not allow them. They don't care if they have unions or no unions, et cetera. And they are not for the American people. Bottom line, they are not for
mm-hmm.
the American
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So this hush money case with Donald Trump, the judge prohibited him from posting evidence in the hush money case to social media or certain aspects of the case. The New York mm-hmm. State judge presiding over the criminal hush money case against Trump issued an order Monday mm-hmm. restricting the former president from posting about some evidence in the case on social media. This judge is mm-hmm. Juan Merchant. He largely slandered the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg by limiting what Trump can publicly disclose about new evidence from a prosecution before the case goes to trial. So the order says mm-hmm. that, and I quote, any material and information provided by the people to the defense in accordance with their discovery obligations shall be used solely for the purpose of preparing a defense in this matter, end quote. So Merchant order said that anyone with access to the evidence being turned over to Trump team by state prosecutors shall not copy, disseminate, or disclose the material to third parties, including social media platforms, without prior approval from the court. It is also singled mm-hmm. out that Trump, saying he is allowed to review sensitive, limited, dissemination materials from prosecution, only in the presence of his lawyers, shall not be permitted to copy, photograph, transcribe, or otherwise independently process limited dissemination materials, end quote. Yes, so, you know, so what does this mean? If Donald Trump disobeys the court's order, the judge's order, he can be thrown in prison, in jail?
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I mean, mm-hmm. I would hope so. Because, you know, he can get on his social media, whatever his social media is called. I don't even remember because I don't like it. But
Truth Social.
Yeah, Truth Social. Yeah, and it's basically not anything true, but yeah. And he could probably go on there and talk about the case. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what he could do. And this judge is right to do what he did, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the
right.
judge is right because Trump has this longstanding history of attacking witnesses, investigators, prosecutors,
mm-hmm.
trial
yeah.
jurors, grand jurors, judges, others involved
yeah.
in legal proceedings against him, and putting those individuals
yeah.
and those families in considerable danger,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
yeah.
the judge was right in, like, putting a gag order on him, basically. And
absolutely.
They want to make sure that, you know, it's not misused, the evidence. So if he sees it in the presence of his lawyers, you know, then they have to make sure that he doesn't photocopy or take a picture or anything to post on social media because mm-hmm. it put people in danger, you know? And Donald Trump, with his E. Jean Carroll case, for example, wanted to know who the jurors were. He has no
yeah.
right. Doesn't think he's king?
I know. Who does he think he is? Do you think they're going to say, oh, Joe Schmo, yeah, here's Joe Schmo's phone number and picture. Go ahead, contact
mm-hmm.
Joe Schmo. Really? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Who does he think he is? And over the weekend, I talked for a moment about Truth Social. And this is the kind of stuff that he writes. And this is probably why the judge did what the judge did. The special and this is what he wrote on his Truth Social. The special prosecutor, Jack Smith, who is harassing, threatening, and terrorizing people who work for me, probably illegally, and totally at odds with the way crooked Joe Biden is being treated, with will no longer be known as the special prosecutor, but rather the special persecutor. He is a Trump-hating slime ball who is going far beyond the original instructions of the Department of Injustice. The witch hunt continues, as it always will, with the radical left country destroying lunatics. That's what he, that was Saturday. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
He goes after Jack Smith. He goes after whomever he feels, you know, he can. And it's sickening. It's sickening.
Mm-hmm. I know the same judge, he offered Trump to come in front of the Manhattan grand jury in the hush money case.
Mm-hmm.
In the rape case, I'm sorry, with E. Jean Carroll. And his lawyers told him no. You know, imagine if he went.
Yeah.
You know, I was hoping that he'd gone because he'd just incriminate himself.
I was hoping for that. I was hoping that he would just tell his, you know, I don't care what, I don't mean judge, I'm sorry, tell his lawyer, I don't care what you say, I'm going to testify on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the best, you know. But no, they shut him down. His lawyer wouldn't let him, you know.
Yeah.
It's just,
I'm going to play something. George Conway was on CNN a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was at a loss of words. Well, no, before that, we're going to break down the Stormy Daniels, Donald Trump, hush money investigation. CBS reported and everything. And, I'm queuing up the video here and everything. Okay, so the nut job, Donald Trump, thinks he's above the law and everything. And for all his life, he's gotten away with murder, basically. So here's CBS News breaking on the Trump's dumb down hush money investigation.
A story broke about the President of the United States' alleged involvement with a payment to an adult film actress. The Wall Street Journal was the first to report on the $130,000 hush money payment by a lawyer for Donald Trump to one Stormy Daniels. Since then, there's been lawsuits, investigations, and even a guilty verdict handed down to that lawyer, Michael Cohen. And the investigation into the payment isn't over. Mr. Trump has reportedly been offered a chance to testify at the grand jury, which is often considered the last step before an indictment in New York. Joe Palazzolo joins me now. He's an investigative reporter for the Wall Street Journal and was one of the reporters to break the story back in 2018. Joe, we don't know what the DA will do, but between the speculation and the political efforts to spin what we still don't know the DA will do, it's hard to remember what the original story was. You broke it. Can you remind us what this original story was about?
Yeah, sure. For us, it actually started in 2016 when we were reporting on a separate hush money payment by the National Enquirer's parent company to a woman named Karen McDougal, who alleged that she had an affair with President Trump. And in the course of reporting that, we heard about this woman named Stormy Daniels, who also had alleged a sexual encounter with Trump. And she had been in contact with media companies, outlets at the time in 2016, right before the 2016 election, and it sort of cut off suddenly. So it was a loose thread. We reported the story about the payment by the National Enquirer's parent company, and we had sort of Stormy Daniels on our radar. And then, you know, fast forward to 2018, and in January is when we finally had a reporting together to report that Michael Cohen had arranged $130,000 to Stormy Daniels to prevent her from speaking about the alleged sexual encounter.
And the National Enquirer plays a role in this because there was an effort, as I understand it, for the National Enquirer to take in some of these stories and essentially what's, I believe, called the catch and kill. Is that right?
Yeah, the catch and kill. So they were obviously very instrumental in the Karen McDougal payment. And they later admitted to federal prosecutors that the reason they bought that story from her for $150,000 was purely for the sake of following it up and protecting President Trump. They also said they did it in coordination with Trump. And they were also involved in the Stormy Daniels payment. One of the top editors there and the CEO was in conversations around the time of that payment in October of 2016 and actually helped broker the deal and put Michael Cohen in touch with a lawyer from Stormy Daniels.
And so, Joan, all of that might sound to people like, you know, well, he doesn't want it to come out, and so he paid hush money. But there's the connection here that's potentially illegal. It has to do with the campaign. Can you untangle or make that connection for us?
Yeah, sure. And it is a bit of a tangle. So what federal prosecutors alleged in 2018 when they were investigating Michael Cohen, who was Trump's lawyer, is that that $130,000 payment was essentially the same as giving $130,000 to Trump, the candidate, directly. And they reasoned that because they alleged that Michael Cohen made the payment, he made it in coordination with Donald Trump, he made it in coordination with Donald Trump for the purpose of influencing the election, and therefore it was the campaign contribution. And so he ended up pleading guilty, in fact, to a campaign finance violation connection with both of the payments that he made to Stormy Daniels and the one that he coordinated to Terry McDougal.
All right, Joe Palazzolo, thank you for reminding us what this was all about. Rather complicated, but we really appreciate you helping us untangle it.
So why is Donald Trump, again, why is Donald Trump not in prison? If anybody else did what he did, he'd be in prison. And, you know,
absolutely.
Shame on the media for not breaking the story 1 week before the election. They brought the story about, mm-hmm. you know, James Comey, you know, with this goddamn
yep.
Benghazi bullshit, you know, and mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton testifying 13 hours in front of the Senate, Armed Services Committee and Intelligence Committee. She didn't flinch. She didn't, you know, buckle under pressure and everything.
Yeah, great job.
I can't say Trump surviving 5 minutes of that, you know? And
no,
Jim Comey really messed shit up. We could have had a great president in Hillary Clinton, but no, you know?
Nope.
For whatever reason, Jim Comey came out with his letter and just ruined everything and have this liar, this incompetent fool, Donald Trump.
I know.
You know,
and we're still
it's just
suffering.
So heartbreaking. And we're still suffering because of this motherfucker. You know, I don't mean to curse, you know, people out there listening, but Jesus, I hate Donald Trump. I hate Republicans. There are good Republicans out there. Why you don't stand up for your party? Why? You have people in Arizona like Kerry Lake doing crap, stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't understand it.
Jim Jordan. I mean, the list is long, David. The list is long. You know, these people need to be voted out. They are the cancer of our society. They're destroying our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to put it. I mean, how else can you put it? I mean, every single day there is someone warning us that, you know, this movement is dangerous. Even our, you know, President Biden has said it over and over again. This movement is dangerous. It's going in the wrong direction. And if people don't understand what direction we are going in, then you've been asleep and you need to wake up. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have our Gen Z. I'm going to talk about them again because they care. They have been going to the Capitol. They have been protesting. They are the ones that are out there right now. That I watched a young lady at the Capitol in, I think it was in Tennessee, and she was protesting peacefully in the Capitol building like everyone else. And for some reason, the police singled her out, this young lady, and she had her arms up and everything. They pulled her out of the crowd, and it looked like three officers to the ground of this young lady. For what reason? I couldn't see a reason. And this is what I'm talking about. What is happening? Peaceful protests are part of democracy. It's part of how you keep democracy. How else can you voice your opinion if it's going to be squashed and you're going to be thrown in jail for a peaceful protest?
Yeah.
You notice they showed the superiority to on a woman. They roughed her up pretty good, didn't they? Because they figured that she was the one that was the leader of the protest.
Yes. And you know, she was one of hundreds there. Hundreds. You know?
Yep.
And, you know, they singled out one person and wrestled her to the ground. And she wasn't a big person. She was a young lady. And that's what I'm saying. And she has a right to be there just like anybody else. They have a right to protest. I'm sorry. If it's peaceful and they're not hurting anybody, they're making their voices heard, they are part of this country. They are the future of this country. They have the right to do that. The First Amendment gives them that right.
Exactly.
I digress.
I want to play this piece now from Brian Tyler Cohen, and I got it from the Twitter account from Rob Weber. He was interviewing a Trump supporter who fell on his face when confronted with his own hypocrisy, and in a jumping down a rabbit hole, basically. He's trying to explain, because this guy he was interviewing, he's a big QAnon supporter and everything, and making claims that JFK going to be Donald Trump's running mate in 2024, and all sorts of conspiracy bullshit. You know, so listen to it.
Can you hear it?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I can't. No. Okay. Yeah, let's move on then, because for some reason it's low, and I can't hear it. Nobody can hear it. If you can't hear it, then nobody else can hear it. Yeah.
So next topic I will talk about, next thing on the agenda for tonight is what, Maury? What are we going to talk about next?
How about
Pence?
He's just a moron wrapped in an idiot. I'm sorry. He vows to stand behind principled jurist Clarence Thomas amid scrutiny. Why? Give me a reason why. Why would he stand behind him and call him a principled jurist? What's the connection?
Because Clarence Thomas basically kissed Republicans' ass. Like Harlan Crow, who's his benefactor, you know, millions of dollars over how much years, going, you know, from vacation, his mother living rent-free, his grandnephew going to a private school, all paid for by Harlan Crow. And so ever since his nomination to the Supreme Court in 1991, Clarence Thomas has maliciously attacked the left, including Senator Joe Biden then. You know, and it's very appalling that we'll have a man like Clarence Thomas in the Supreme Court during the nomination hearings in 1991, which were led by the then Senator Joe Biden as head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. There are particularly fraught due to sexual harassment allegations made by Anita Hill. And so Ms. Hill worked with Thomas at the Department of Education and Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. You know, and Clarence Thomas is a man of integrity, according to Mike Pence. Our nation is fortunate to have Clarence Thomas serving on the highest court of the land. God bless Justice Clarence Thomas, end quote. I mean, the man's a crook.
No kidding.
He should be off the bench. His wife, Gina Thomas, you know, tried to overthrow the goddamn government. What is Mike Pence talking about? Does he want the Republican nomination that bad that he defends a credent like Clarence Thomas? And again, I ask the question, if any other regular citizen did what Clarence Thomas did, what Gina Thomas did, what Donald Trump did, they'd be in prison awaiting trial. My God.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yes. And the injustice is sickening, you know, and like I talked about that young protester, you know, she was probably held overnight. Here we have a man that we know. I mean, they've already brought out a lot of things that he did. I mean, his grandnephew, his great-nephew, great-grandnephew, whatever, he, $16,000 a month to go to a private school. This young man has traveled all over the world, and we know who paid for it, and it wasn't justice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And how
added
wrong
to which,
is
the Washington Post, added to which the Washington Post reported Thursday that a conservative judicial activist, Leonardo Leo, directed then-GOP pollster Kellyanne Conway to provide Thomas's wife, Virginia Thomas, with $25,000 in January 2012. Leo reportedly specified that there should be no mention of Jenny Thomas, of course, end quote, in the paperwork for the transaction. So now, why give $250,000 to Jenny Thomas, or $25,000, and not mention her name? That's not a clear conflict of interest. Her husband is on the Supreme Court looking over a case. You know, that's conflict of interest. He should recuse himself. But no, he didn't. He accepted money. Yeah. She accepted money. He's accepting money from Crow, Harlan Crow. You know, so there's no checks and balances for the Supreme Court. Let us, you know, do as they please without what's the word I'm looking for?
There's no one watching the chicken coop. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
No one's watching the chicken coop. It's just basically do what I want. Type thing, you know. Don't you do it as a citizen, but I can do it because I'm a Supreme Court judge, right?
Okay, we have 22 minutes left, and we're going to talk about a few GOP appointees, including two from Trump. They will hear the next phase of a major abortion pill case, and the New Orleans-based appeals court panel that will oversee the next stage of a blockbuster legal challenge to the availability of medication abortion drugs is made up of three Republican appointees, including one of Trump nominees, who was called abortion a moral tragedy. Circuit Court Judge James Ho and Corey Wilson, both Trump nominees, we'll hear the oral arguments on May 17th alongside Judge Jennifer Walker Elrod, an appointee of George W. Bush. The lawsuit was brought by anti-abortion doctors and medical organizations who allege that the United States Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, broke the law when it provided or approved the medication abortion drug, more than two decades ago. So last month, U.S. District Judge Matthew Kaczmarek agreed with their arguments and ruled that the approval of the drug should be suspended. However, his ruling was put on hold by the Supreme Court on April 21st, and it will remain on hold until the case goes back to the High Court regarding how the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court appeals rules on the merit. Judge Ho, a former Texas Solicitor General, is considered one of the most conservative and strident members of the Fifth Circuit, having described abortion as a, quote, moral tragedy in a 2018 concurring opinion. In 2019, a concurring opinion, Judge Ho also said that a trial judge's ruling, which struck down a 15-week abortion ban and which was affirmed by the Fifth Circuit under the then-standing Roe precedent, displayed, quote, an alarming disrespect for the millions of Americans who believe that babies deserve legal protection during pregnancy as well as after birth, and that abortion is the immoral, tragic, and violent taking of innocent human life, end quote. So under every circumstances, even if the mother is raped by, you know, her father, uncle, or relative,
or a stranger or her life is in danger, these activist judges like Judge Hoare and you know, these right-wing lunatic evangelicals want them to have the baby. The baby's dead inside them. Septic happen where, you know, it could kill them, the mother. So why carry the baby to term? I don't understand these people. They're basing things off the Bible. And not everybody believes in the Bible. In fact, you know, it's just crap what they're trying to, you know, defend here. It's nonsense.
They, you know, in the same way, why don't they ban Viagra then? Ban Viagra.
Thank you.
I mean, take that up.
Thank you.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, if you're going to ban, you know, that the abortion pill, then ban Viagra as well. I mean,
exactly.
And it goes even deeper than that. How dare these men, these judges, these people, these, how dare they think that they have the right to tell any woman what to do with her body? They have no idea of her life circumstances. They have no idea about her financial circumstances, how she got pregnant, where she is in her life, her status, anything. They know nothing. They know nothing. But yet they feel that they can blanket a ruling all over women all over the country and tell them what the hell to do with their bodies. This is wrong. And this is
and what is more big government than going into the bedroom and inside the woman's vagina? That's very big government. Aren't they opposed to big government?
Of course they
are. You know,
are.
These Republicans are hypocrites.
Of course. They are conservatives, but they conserve nothing. They spend. They conserve nothing. You know, they're for big government, and they have brainwashed people to think that they are for small government. Not true. Not true at all. And you're right, David. What is bigger? How much bigger can it get, you know, to, you know, take away your First Amendment rights if you're trying to do a peaceful protest for something that you're passionate about? What's more big government than, you know, this abortion pill? Excuse me? You know, you have to carry, you know, a dead fetus, you can't. It doesn't happen because you will die from, you will be, in fact, have an infection and you can die from it. You'll be septic. That's exactly how it works. It's something rotting in your body. And, and if someone wants to have an abortion in their life, they are the ones that have to live with it, not these judges. They don't have to live with the consequences. The person that's having the abortion makes the decision, and they live with the consequences and upon, you know, however they want to do it. I mean, they feel good about it, that's fine. I mean, who are these people?
Well, men trying to make decisions for women, basically. You know, in a Republican Party, they don't respect women. You know, do as I say and do as you're told. That's their thing, Republican men. You know, the whole patriarchy, trying to control women. It's sickening. It's vulgar. It's disrespectful. It should stop.
It's not going to happen. 24, women are going to vote their hearts. And their hearts are women have the right to choose. I'm sorry. You have a right to choose. If you want to have a child, not have a child, you have a conversation with whomever you have the relationship with, if that's how you got pregnant, and you make that decision. That decision is made between whomever and whatever they come up with, that's their decision. It is not a judge's decision. It is not the government's decision. They don't have to live.
It's between a woman and her doctor. Point blank, whichever deity she believes in, if she does believe in it, in any deity, you know, this country's a hot mess, for real. What's the better than this?
It is.
You know, and how about adoption, you know? if the baby's okay and the mother decides to have carry the baby to term and everything, can put it up for adoption. And a lot of these people who protest at abortion clinics, they wouldn't go out there and adopt a baby or a child.
Yeah.
You know, they're just full of talk.
And our system is not a good system either. You know, the foster care system is not a great system. You know, a lot of times these kids get, you know, from home to home. You know, they stay a year or 2 years with a family, and then that family doesn't want them anymore. Then they end up in another home, or they go back to foster care. You know, their whole lives are messed up. They're messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And, some people cannot have children. I understand that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. People are not, you know, can't have kids for whatever reason. Sure, adopt then, you know, but it is expensive. Then adopt a child. But don't take away the right of someone that doesn't want a child right now for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's that person's choice. I have no right to tell anyone what to do with their body. No one has the right to tell me what to do with my body. Bottom line, that's how it is. It's my space.
Exactly.
It's my space.
Exactly.
Stay out of it.
Exactly. Yes. Last thing, we call up 10 minutes, just over 10 minutes. There's this woman, Kelly Craft. She's running for governor of Kentucky. Oh, and speaking of Kentucky, happy birthday, belated birthday to George Clooney, who turned 62 years old recently. All the very best, and hope you have many more birthdays. And Kelly Craft, she's running for the Republican nomination to be governor of Kentucky. And she put out this ad 3 weeks ago called Woke. And this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Ready to listen to it? We'll discuss it after we listen.
Woke bureaucrats.
I know my DRT.
Forcing woke ideology into the classroom. Schools are under attack. Woke bureaucrats. Terror shooting in to hijack our children's future.
I know my DRT.
Forcing woke ideology into the classroom.
I'm Gracie. I'm a she, her.
It's immoral. I'm Kelly Craft, and as governor, I'll dismantle the Department of Education and start fresh. Because these are our children, not the government.
What the hell is she talking about? People not...
No clue. I did not understand what she was talking about.
Yeah, basically, in schools, like the fourth grade, fifth grade, liberals and progressives are coming into schools with the woke ideology of, like, calling he, she, you know, the pronouns and everything. And she wants to close the Department of Education down. And just think that liberals are brainwashing children with critical race theory. What critical race theory is not taught in middle school or junior high, you know, not unless you're a lawyer in law school or about to practice law in law school, that the teach critical race theory. That's the only place that's taught. So this crazy person don't know what she's talking about, obviously.
Well, we have.
You know, I thought it was SNL running this commercial when I was watching it.
You know, and we have, you know, Ron DeSantis to thank for the woke theory that makes no sense. That's who we have to thank.
And I bet
and
you
then
in
the
morning,
rest of
if
these...
you ask Ron DeSantis, what CRT is, he has no idea what it is. You know?
No, they don't. They don't. I've seen interviews. You know, on social media where someone has asked another person, what does woke mean? And they can't answer the question. They have no idea. They're asked what CRT is. They have no idea. But they believe in it. It's mm-hmm. you know, they believe it. They can't explain it. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, the only part about this commercial, the funny part about the commercial is that she paid someone to make this embarrassing commercial. You know?
Yeah.
People just look it up. Kelly Craft campaign ad, walk. Look it up, people. It's a 30-second ad. And it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in life. You know? Wow.
Well,
wow. Horrific. Horrific. It's starting to backfire on her already.
Oh, good.
She's saying that, oh, people misinterpreted the ad and everything. No, they didn't misinterpret it. You know, you're just a
mm-hmm.
fool who's a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Jumped on a rabbit hole with Ron DeSantis and company. It's just disgraceful,
mm-hmm.
these Republicans. Eisenhower is supposed to be, you know, turning in his grave to see what a Republican Party is. It's an abomination.
Absolutely.
And I hope within 10 years' time or less, that there will be no more Republican Party, because these people are absolute failures. That don't mean America well.
If you go to Wikipedia and you type in woke, this is what it says. Woke is an adjective
mm-hmm.
derived from meaning alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. Now, what
mm-hmm.
does that have to do with that Satan talks about all the time? So he took this word woke and he basically messed it all up, because it only
mm-hmm.
has to do with an alert to racial prejudice and discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
That's what woke is.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what they're talking
prejudice.
About. All it knows
exactly.
how to do is gerrymander elections, steal elections, intimidate people, taking
mm-hmm.
the voting rights away from people, and when they get in power,
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to govern. That's the deal with Republicans. And it's going to come to a stop, because as I said earlier in the show, that the millennials and Generation Z are fed up with their crap,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to vote in numbers. And Republicans are in for a rude awakening. Elaine, we have a couple of minutes left. Any final words or final thoughts?
No, just keep hoping that people get off their butts and start talking and start doing something. Voting is great, but get involved. Get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Start talking
mm-hmm.
to people. This is
mm-hmm.
the only way we're going to climb out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind
you
of
know,
down in the
do you think,
today.
Ladies,
mm-hmm.
do you think
what?
That the election day should be a national holiday, Australia and other
yeah,
countries, when they have elections?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Instead of having President's
yeah.
Day, switch a President's Day to Election Day being a national holiday. What better way
mm-hmm.
to celebrate the presidents and the founding fathers who sacrificed
mm-hmm.
blood, sweat, and tears
yeah.
to write the Constitution and to build this country from scratch? With the help of slavery, of course, which 41
mm-hmm.
signers in the Constitution had slaves, but nobody's perfect. You know,
mm-hmm.
we could honor the people.
It falls down anyways. They might as well have a national holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, here
mm-hmm.
in Michigan, they close the schools down now during elections for the safety
mm-hmm.
of the children. That's
mm-hmm.
the us they use. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, why
mm-hmm.
not have a national holiday? And why not do it on a Sunday?
Well,
if you're so worried about the businesses losing one day of business, then have the elections on a Sunday.
Well,
no,
we know
Constitution is due the first Tuesday in November. So, you know, why change something that's been working for centuries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not
going to
change the Constitution now, so why not have it on a Sunday? They're misinterpreting the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It says well-regulated militia. It doesn't say the public needs to be armed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I understand
yeah.
your.
Because
if
we have the election on a Sunday, then people go out on a
mm-hmm.
weekend and everything. They're just chilling. They're having a beer. You know, they don't want to
mm-hmm.
like, you know, be bothered by voting.
No,
so Tuesday.
I happen to pick a date. I mean, I happen to pick a
yeah.
day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
That's my own.
Yeah. I agree. And the reason they don't want that to be a national holiday is because they do not really, they really don't want people to vote. That's, you know, that's their nightmare, you know, because when
they do everything
vote,
to suppress people's votes.
We win.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And in 2024, Republicans will fail. They're going to fail miserably. They don't know, they're not going to know what hit them. You know, I can't wait for that day, though. Because kitchen politics 1, 2, 3, we're going to fight to get Democrats elected and make sure that, you know, we'll have enough Democrats in the Senate for a 6-seat majority where there can be no filibuster. We want to take back the House, but it's going to be so hard with this gerrymandering and everything. People just have to, you know, put up or shut up. You know, time for talking is over and everything. But we'll come to the end of the show, so I want to thank everybody for listening, sharing. Remember, you can visit us at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're here every Sundays and Mondays now. Thursdays, we're not having a Thursday show because I have a new job, a great job. And, you know, I don't mess it up. And, you know, so from now on, our show will be on Sundays and Mondays, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Check out the website, kitchenpolitics123.com. Thank you, Elaine, for calling in. Thank you, Kalel, and the Commonwealth of Virginia for calling in. And thank you, Carol, who didn't say anything from Arizona. Carol Zimmerman, you're the best. Thank you so much. This was our first time listening to the show. Hopefully, she was impressed.
Oh, great.
And you know yourselves out there, people. Thank you for listening and sharing and getting us out there in the blogosphere and the world. And telling people about us and everything. Let's try. We're a small market trying to grow. And Kitchen Politics 123, the merchandise section will be up and running shortly. Baseball cup, baseball hats, coffee mugs,
T-shirt
is a big thing. Summer coming
up.
So I hope you like what we'll have to offer and everything. It's not to break the bank and everything, but, you know, you'd like it. It's election season. Get involved. Get active. This is your country. Fight back. Republicans want autocracy. We are defenders of democracy. We're not going to let them steal the 2024 election. If they try what they tried in 2021, we've been there waiting for them. And we're not going to let them get away with it. But we've got to go now.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
Thanks, Elaine. Good night, everyone.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, May 8th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good night, and we'll talk to you again on Sunday. Bye now. Thank you.
Thank you.